say, Pastor Larry, that was a song by the Monkees. Neil Diamond wrote that song. But how better a way to trick the world to get them to start singing about God than to start singing a song they thought they knew that had no idea what we made it the meaning of? I'm a believer. We get them to say things about God that they didn't understand. We use them against themselves. Amen. Unbelievers start singing that. Oh, I know that song. I thought love, and then I'm a believer. And then you look at him and say, you ought to be a believer. Let's believe in God together. That's the power of God. We use that music, the power of music, to bring people to God. Amen? And that includes you also. Everything is beautiful.
Just as I am. God accepts you just as you are. Imagine that. You don't have to do it. You don't have to do your hair. You don't have to go on a diet. You don't have to do it. He accepts you just the way you are. That's our Father. That's God. That's the God of the Bible. That's the God that we love. How can somebody not love that God? I mean, really, I'll be honest. How can somebody not love the promise of what God gives to us? And we got daily troubles. And the book here, this love story, tells us how to deal with. You might have somebody you can't deal with. It tells you how to do that. You might have financial problems. It tells you how to deal with it. You might have emotional problems. It tells you how to deal with it. Because you're never, and this is the key word, you're never alone. Thank you. See, Lisa's been paying attention. You're never, and when you're never alone, you don't feel in despair. That's why I say, Dale, we're going to pray for that baby with so much vigor and so much spirit that it doesn't matter what anybody else says, you see, because God's in control. So we're going to put the Spirit of God on that baby, over that baby. We're all going to pray. We want to see the baby. We want to be a part of the baby. We know you do, so we pray. Your spirit inside, you're up here, you might think, well, that's not possible. But everything in this Bible is about things that are impossible. Amen? Everything that Jesus did was impossible. So we're going to believe with Jesus, and we're going to pray simple prayers that God smile on the baby, that the spirit of that baby changes people's lives, that the things, the spirit coming out the baby's eyes, touch somebody and say, this baby's special. We need to do something special with the baby. If the baby's special, we need to give it to somebody real special like Jesus. And so we just pray for that. I know that, like all nanas and all grandpas, you want your grandkids, and you know it, but it doesn't happen that way overnight. Amen? How many got grandkids you want to? I got kids I want to go to church. I want my children to go to church, and I can't get them to. I'm the pastor. You figure all my kids go to church? No. No. And my daughter lives in, don't get mad at me, my daughter lives in a place in Tennessee, Greg, that there must be 30 churches 6 miles around her house. I mean 30. We drove that one time. Look at that, the little beautiful little chapel there and over there. And find one that you like. Find one where they're preaching the word and you get a new family. And some of the problems that you have, not necessarily go away, but you find a different answer for them. Amen? That's what we're doing here. Go out Saturday and do all kinds of wonderful things. You think they would come on Sunday and tell us what they did? No. You know why? Because they're tired. I want to strangle them. And Easter Sunday, we had like 60,000 people here. Where are they home? Home today is nothing. It's just Sunday now. Remember when we was kids and everything was closed on Sunday? Maybe I'm getting old, Greg, but that don't sound bad to me now. You know, when you get older, things, when you're a kid, you don't want anything closed. We never had a little league on Sunday. We never had soccer on Sunday. Swimming tournaments on Sunday. Hockey on Sunday. Going hunting? Well, George, I know that was a tough one. That was a tough one, George. We prayed in the woods, right, George? We prayed to God. We was closer to God, right, Chuck, up in the tree. We were closer to God than anybody went to church. We were about 12 feet up. Me, I was only 8 feet, but I was still up there. It's between me and God. I'm sorry. I'm not sharing what I talked to God with. Oh, yeah, I prayed for that, too. Yeah, I've done that too. One of us, and I'm not going to mention who, there might be three of us, and I'm still not sure which one it was, actually fell asleep in the tree stand one time in Vermont, dropped the bow out of the tree stand, that tree, the bow hit the ground, spun around, flipped over, and broke. Was it you or Johnny, George? That was Johnny, all right. Hallelujah. Amen. Phew. Thank you, Lord. Let's stand up and pray together, church. Oh, Heavenly Father, you've got so much for us, people. Lord, give me the strength, give me the words to help me. Help me, help me. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, Lord, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever and ever. Amen and amen. Be seated, everybody, and give him praise this morning. Hallelujah. Okay, responsive reading, Psalm 119. Thank you, Lord. This is supposed to be a song. Does anybody know that the psalms are actually music? That a musician, I'm going to preach on this next week, but I'll give you a little heads up. A musician, let me say that again, Greg, so a musician wrote the biggest book in this Bible. Came from a musician. David wrote the Psalms. He's responsible for about 75% of these Psalms, Pat. A musician. And these were songs from his heart. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path.
I've sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgment.
I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word.
Accept, I pray, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgment.
Hallelujah. My life is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law.
The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not strayed from your precepts.
Your testimony I have taken as a heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart.
I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever, to the very end.
To the very end, rejoicing. Rejoicing means new joy. Rejoicing means new joy. Can I get an amen? Rejoicing means new joy. You had old joy, now you need new joy. You need a new joy. New joy. How was your Easter? Good. Nothing. You talked about everything was good. And hallelujah. Praise God. When we read the Lord's Prayer, we read the bottom of the prayer. It said, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Do you know that that's not in all the Bibles? Do you know that some Catholics will tell you that, well, I don't say that because it's not, that's not how we say it? And you know what? It's perfectly okay because it's in my Bible. It's in this Bible, in the translation of my Bible. So it doesn't change the doctrine, sir. Do you understand? Is it true? Ask yourself. It says, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Is that true?
Yes.
Then why shouldn't we say it? Amen? But so if we say it or if somebody doesn't, does it make it untrue? Of course not. Let me read something from Habakkuk. He was a prophet. This is a great book to read. It's in the Old Testament. And he was given counsel by God. He was given leading by God how to write. And it said, Habakkuk is saying, then the Lord answered me and said, who said it? Okay, good, you got it. He said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Listen to that again. Understand. He said, write the vision. In other words, write down what God is telling him. Write it the God's way. And listen, it says, and make it plain on tablets. What does that mean, plain on tablets? And explains the next line, that he may run who reads it. You understand what that means? He's saying, write my word and make it simple. Make it clear. Make it clean. So whoever reads it, if Fran reads it, he says, I get it. If Walter reads it, he says, I get it. We all got places to go. I get it. He's telling them how to do it, how to do God's word. He's saying, make it simple so that people can understand. Listen, he said, that he may run who reads it. That means when you read it, you understand and you're going to tell people about it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But at the end, it will speak and it will not lie. It's saying that what I'm going to tell you might not be for today, for some things. But what I tell you, it will happen the way I tell you that it happens. So it says, it's the truth. So when I give it to you, it's the truth. It will happen. He said, at the end, I will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. Whenever we're praying for something, though it tarries, Miss Mary, we're with you. Pray for it. And it says, wait for it. Because it will surely come. That's where you claim it. That's where you claim it right now. Right now you say, it will come. Say that with me. It will come. Because the word says so. Claim it. Hallelujah. For it will not tarry. Behold the proud. This is so, you listen to this. It says, behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him. Listen to that again. It says, look at the proud people. Their soul is not upright. They're proud. They walk around proud in themselves and what they do and how they do it. Their soul is not upright in them. In other words, they're so proud. Their pride comes before the fall. Anybody ever heard that expression? God respects the humble. When you humble yourself before God, guess who lifts you up? God. When you are proud and you brag about yourself, you've lifted yourself up. When you tell people this or that or how smart you are, whatever it is you're bragging about in your pride, it is you doing the lifting up. But when you humble yourself, when you open yourself up to God, He lifts you up. I don't know about you, but I'd rather God lift me up than me lift me up. Hallelujah. So, thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Some churches don't say that. That's okay. That's fine. Here's the most important thing in this book. Everybody got your Bibles? Here's five words. The most important five words about this Bible. Jesus rose from the dead. That's it. This whole Bible, this whole book is based on one thing. Jesus rose from the dead. We celebrated Resurrection Sunday last week. What is that resurrection for? Us. Who is it for? Us. For eternal life. For right here. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. That would not be true if Jesus had not. Hallelujah. Thank you, Bernie. Get it? The most important part of the Bible are those five words. Translations. Now, we're going to talk about the Bible here a little bit first. I hope we get a lot of people ask me about this. Translations should be accurate. Amen? Translations, people translate the Greek or the Hebrew into English. They should be easy to understand. You say to me, Pastor, how do I know that? Well, come back with me. We're going to read Habakkuk again. It said, make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. So it should be easy to understand the translations. Ensure that God's word does not change. Any translation must be sure. And I'm going to take you to Matthew. You all want to come with me in Matthew 5, 8, 18. I'll read it. You don't have to run around and try to find it. But I want to read you some things in this book. When you're wondering about translations and what is and what isn't, listen to what God says. Listen to what Jesus says. Matthew 5:18. You can write it down and read it later. He says, for assuredly I say to you. So if Jesus is standing here today, he's saying, assuredly I say to Second Congregation, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass from the law till all is fulfilled. How much is fulfilled? All. He's saying not one jot or one tittle. Those are Greek words. Those are words that mean the smallest of things. So a comma, a period, punctuation marks, nothing. Nothing is going to be changed. Not one thing removed or added until the coming of Christ. Amen. And God, Jesus, is telling us not one thing. So when people start scribing, when the scribes and those what they had to do before they had presses, they had to sit there at their desk with their feather pens and they had to write every single letter, every single comma, because they knew that the Bible said that not one jot or one tittle. Those are Greek words, the jot and the tittle. They just mean whatever punctuation mark. Are you with me? Now let me read something else that's even, to me, even more powerful. I'm going to go to Revelation now. If you want to write down it, that was Matthew 5:18. If you want to read it at home, but I'm going to go to Revelation 22:18. I want you to listen to this, and it's got a little heading. And you all know, when you read your Bible and it's Matthew 5:18 or whatever you're reading, that when the people wrote the Bible, there were no such things as that. Matthew 5:18. There was no Joseph, you know, there was no, because these were letters. Can I get an amen? These were books that were letters. It was man. Say that with me. Man who decided, let me put chapter and verse on each part here so that when people start to read the Bible, they know where to find what we're talking about. Because the original writings of the Greek didn't have any of that. When they found, anybody ever hear of the Dead Sea Scrolls that they found? Amazing. My wife and I, that was so good. We went to New York City. They had them at the museum in New York City. I made reservations online to get there because you had to make reservations when you wanted to go. These were the Dead Sea Scrolls that they found in a cave in these urns and stuff. The true book of Isaiah. A lot of the original writings of the Bible. And so we made reservations because I wanted to go and see it. It's not here all the time. And we went there at the time we were supposed to go. And I walked in the door. Nobody was there. Nobody. I walked up to the door. We got a 4:30. The guy said, "Oh, go ahead, go in." That's what he said. "Oh, go ahead." We went in there. There might have been a dozen people in there. And there was things from David, some coins from David, some pottery from the time of David, along with the pieces of the Dead Sea Scrolls. They were in a room that was really dark, and you had to look through glass because they couldn't let the light hit the papers. It was fascinating. But it was the Word of God, right there, the original Word of God. So when we're reading this, there was no number on that. When they had that, when they found those, there's no, you know, Isaiah 5:16 and Isaiah. You had, man did that. Are you with me? These are all good things to understand so you know when somebody, when you're talking to somebody about the Bible, amen? Because we want to share it. Now I'm going to read 22:18 from the book of Revelation. Listen to this. This ought to scare the people, anybody who had any idea. It said, "For I testify to everyone who hears." To who? Everyone who hears the words of this prophecy of this book. This book. The prophecy of this book. I testify. If anyone who adds to these things, anyone adds anything to this, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. Can you imagine that? Listen to what it says. The Bible says, if anybody adds anything to this book, anything, the plagues are, God will add the plagues of this Bible to him. And then, and here's 19, listen. And if anyone who takes away from the word of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Wouldn't that be enough for you to say, maybe I better not change anything in this Bible? If I'm going to present this as God's Word, if you're going to go to a church and somebody's going to read out of this book, they better say, I better not mess around with what God has told me to do. Can I get an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Bibles were first put into English around the late 1300s. Anybody here then?
No.
Nobody? No. Second baseman for the Yankees. You're not. No. Around 1300s, that's when they started taking the Greek and Hebrew and putting it into English. How many know that the English language is almost impossible? I mean, there's words that 10 years ago meant something that they don't mean the same thing today. Let me use one word. Don't get mad at me. Please don't get mad. Let me use one word. Remember when it was okay to... When I was, oh boy, I just said too much. Remember when being gay was just meant being happy? You see what I'm saying? Words that meant something, they were totally different now. The words have different meanings today, so it's very difficult to translate things into English and keep it accurate. Amen? Did I do it? You got one?
Yes, I remember when I was, you know, teaching music in school, I remember a song, a folk song I was doing, and it had the word gay in it.
Yep.
And when it came to that, I would sing it for the first time, there were all these, you know, they're like...
Giggling, right? Yeah.
Giggling and looking at each other.
Yeah.
And I said, that's not very, you know, really different.
You like music. You ever hear a man named Stephen Foster?
I think so.
Some of them songs, boy, you just want to be, I mean, they're great songs. They talk about old times. But we ain't singing them songs. Not anymore. There's words in Stephen Foster, a gentleman, wrote beautiful songs. So the English language is changing. The guy's name was John Wycliffe, the guy who started writing and putting in English. The Bible, when translated, you might want to write this down. Any Bible that's translated, whatever, is still God's Word. Amen? It's still God's Word. And most laymen, most people who believe, and most people who do, to think that a faithful translation has to be word for word. There's some people who said if the word was a noun, back in 1300, it has to be a noun today. It said if there were 16 Greek words that had to be translated into English, some people wanted to see 16 English words, even though that wasn't always possible. That's what they tried to do. You understand what they were dealing with. Now, the King James Bible, the New King James, the Old American Standard, the New English Bible are just some of those Bibles who follow that line. Amen? They're not exact, but they follow that line. Some changes, and here's the important part. This is why I mentioned, you know, and when I did this, I forgot about doing, when we do the Lord's Prayer, I forgot how it works together with my sermon, some of it. Some changes make no effect, no major doctrine. It changes nothing. When I read, you know, as I read, "Thine is the kingdom, the power forever," it doesn't change anything, amen? It changes nothing except expresses more about who? God in heaven. Some changes, for the deity of Christ, in other words, that Christ is God supreme, and the virgin birth, you don't change the virgin birth. Or the biggest one, salvation is by grace alone. You can't earn your salvation. It comes by grace. Amazing grace. Amen. Free. God gave it to us. You can't earn it. So those are some things. Now, translators have tried to put the New Testament into words and language the average person can simply understand. There's some of your books that are fine. There are versions that distort, omit, and pervert the word. There are some. They omit references to the blood of Christ. They omit the deity of Jesus, Miss Pat. Some of them, they don't admit the fact that He is God, that He was God, He is God, He is the supreme being. They omit that. They remove them. And they're called sectarian translations of those done by individuals. And the sectarian means a personal sect, an individual group of religious people. They call themselves, and Bernie knows exactly. You ever want to talk to Bible with anybody, talk to Bernie. This man's God. He knows what he's talking about. But these were groups of people who started their own religion and went off the Bible. They're going to start with the Bible, but they're going to add and then they're going to subtract things. And one of the things they always subtract is the blood of Christ, how we're saved by the blood of Christ, how salvation and we're covered by, and the fact that Jesus is God and the Holy Spirit. Some religions teach you this. They teach you this. I know I've heard this, that the Holy Spirit, it just flies around, and whenever God wants to give it to you, He gives it to you, and then God takes it away again. So it's not ours. And the Bible tells us that when you believe God, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit is immediate. The Spirit of God lives inside us because we have accepted Jesus. You see, that's where the sectarian Bibles, and that's where some of the teachings of some other religions distort the Word of God. But that's the only place. That's the only things you have to worry about, because they do change the doctrine. So I would just tell you this. Have two different Bibles if you want. I like the New King James Version. I like it. It's easy for it to understand, but there's so many. There's three or four more just like that. So I would simply tell you, have two of them. Maybe even have three of them. So when you're reading and you're looking through the show, let me look and see with anything a little different. Because you may get more information. You may get more, and this is great, more understanding. Can I get an amen to that? But the bottom line, and here's the bottom line on this, is read the book. That's the bottom line. All this stuff people are worried about, translations, I simply say, read the book. The joy of this book. The peace, the fun, adventures, stories. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. How are everybody doing today? You all good?
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. You all want to hear from God? How many want to hear from God today? What are you waiting for? I'm trying. Solomon said to God, God, at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon. Who appeared to him? The Lord. I'm in 1 Kings 3, 5. You might want to write that down if you want to read it later. Sometimes if you read along, I lose you, but if you want to write that down, that's where I am. 1 Kings 3, 5. At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask, what shall I give you?" Hallelujah. And God and Solomon said, "You have shown great mercy to your servant David, my father, because he walked before you in truth, in righteousness, and in uprightness of heart with you. You have continued this great kindness for him, and you have given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king instead of my father David, but I am a little child. I do not know how to go out or come in. And your servant is in the midst of your people, whom you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to be numbered or counted. Therefore, Lord, give to your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours?" The speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. Then God said to him, "Because you have asked this thing and have not asked for long life for yourself, nor have asked for riches for yourself, nor have asked for the life of your enemies, but have asked for yourself understanding to discern justice, behold, I have done according to your word. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you. And I have also given you what you have not asked for, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days. So if you walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments, as your father walked, then I will lengthen your days." God said this to who? Solomon. Solomon wrote where? In the Bible. Solomon talked to who? God gave him what?
Wisdom
and understanding. So who better to go to for wisdom and understanding than where? Solomon. I'm not going to Joe Girardi, I know that for sure. You go for wisdom and understanding to God. Imagine that. You say, "How can I find God? I'm looking for you." He's saying, Solomon, right there. He's got stuff. He wrote, anybody ever see the book Proverbs? He wrote those. Guess what? For who? For us. The Songs of Solomon. What a beautiful story that is. He was a poet. He was a writer. I'm telling you, I got a little ahead of myself for next week, but there's the story of a musician, and I got to do more because I have to do more now after yesterday's conversation. A musician wrote the biggest story in the Bible, and a poet, a writer, wrote the other big stories in the Bible that we can understand. Solomon wrote Proverbs. He wrote the Songs of Solomon. He wrote things for us because he talked to who? So whose advice would you rather search for? Man or God? Of course it's God. Hallelujah. And one of my favorite stories about Solomon. This is one of my favorites. Can I read it? Please? Well, you can't stop me anyway. My wife could maybe. Now two women. How many? You're good. Who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. And one woman said, "Oh my lord, this woman and I dwell in the same house, and I gave birth while she was in the house. Then it happened the third day after I had given birth that this woman also gave birth. And we were together. No one was with us in the house except the two of us in the house. And this woman's son died in the night because she lay on him. So she arose in the middle of the night and took my son from my side while your maidservant slept, and laid him in her bosom, and laid her dead child in my bosom. And when I arose in the morning to nurse my son, there he was, dead. But when I had examined him in the morning, indeed, he was not my son whom I had born. Then the other woman said, 'No, but the living one is my son and the dead one is your son.' And the first woman said, 'No, but the dead one is your son and the living one is my son.' Thus they spoke before the king." They spoke before who?
King.
Solomon, right? Who had what? Understanding and wisdom? And the king said, the one said, "This is my son who lives, and this is the son who dead one." And the other says, "No, but your son is dead, and my son is the living one." Then the king said, "Bring me a sword." So they brought a sword before the king. And the king simply said, divide the living child in two and give half to one and half to the other. And the woman whose son was living spoke to the king, for she yearned with compassion for her son. And she said, oh my Lord, give her the living child, and by no means kill him. But the other said, no, let him neither be mine nor yours, but divide him. So the king answered and said, give the first woman the living child, and by no means kill him. She is his mother. And all Israel heard of the judgment which the king had rendered, and they feared the king, for they saw that the wisdom of God was in him to administer justice. He asked God for what?
Wisdom.
And understanding. I'm going to read you three Proverbs today. Hopefully it helps you in your life. Hopefully it gives you hope. Maybe you can help other people with this. But I'm going to give you three Proverbs from Solomon, who heard from? Hallelujah. 27:2 says this, let another man praise you and not your own mouth, a stranger and not your own lips. Solomon is saying, let another man praise you. Let another man say good things about you. Let somebody else say how wonderful you are, how kind you are, whatever it is you've done, and not your own, and a stranger, and not your own lips. That's where God really comes in. He's saying, humble yourself. Let other people lift you up, and they will see you in a different light. Pull back what you think you know, and let other people tell you what you know, and let them praise you, and you will feel better. And the people around, listen, other people will hear that, that it didn't come out of your lips, that how wonderful you are at this, or how great you are as a grandmother. Other people will say that, and they will see it, and they will say that to you. Well, you must be really something. This is very, this is really, it's 27:19. Listen to this. As in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. When you look into water, what do you see? Yourself, amen? But your heart reveals who you are. Do you have compassion? Do you have understanding? Do you have forgiveness inside of you? Do you have forgiveness for people who love you? Do you humble yourself? See, that's the reflection that you show out. And it's so, Solomon, it's so beautiful. You don't hear people talk like that, but it's so, as in water, face reflects face. So a man's heart reveals the man. And that means women too, okay? Can we get... That's another thing. Some places there's no men and women anymore. You can't have the... You know, just whatever. So that's going to change, amen? That's funny. It's the truth, amen? Things are changing. Not always for the better. It's all, you know, it's all opinion, but things are changing. Hallelujah. So a man's heart reveals the man. When you give somebody a smile, we went to a restaurant the other day, we got a new waitress. We really liked her. She was really nice. She was working, but she was really nice. Can I get, you know, she was a waitress, amen? Working hard. But her personality made it very nice to be there. May say, I want to go back, and you'll ask for, anybody ever ask for the same waitress again? Anybody ever go see the same band again? Yes. Why? Because you like them. Because you like the waitress. So what about you? How many people want to be with you? Do you see, that's the reflection you give. Your heart reveals who you are. Have joy. Have joy in your life. Have joy. Have peace. Especially in times of trouble. Miss Dale, that's what I'm saying to you. You're such a beautiful woman in Christ. You're such a beautiful spirit. You're full of life. You got to let that shine through. You got to give them a reason to want what you have. If you give in to the fear you have, then you don't give them the reason to want to have what you have because they don't see it. But we see it. We know who you are. We know how much you love God. That's all of us. Let them see God. I told you a couple of weeks ago, we should never have to tell anybody that we're a Christian. You should never have to tell anybody. They should just look at you and say, well, that guy's a Christian. That guy likes God. That guy talks about God. Amen? And there's one more here. And this is... If we all learn this. This is Solomon. Though you grind a fool in a mortar with pestle along with crushed grain... Though you grind a fool. Anybody know a fool? Don't even say. Don't raise your hand. Nothing. No. Though you grind a fool in mortar with a pestle along with crushed grain, yet his foolishness will not depart from him. That's pretty. Don't argue with a fool. Don't get in arguments with people who are, you don't want to call anybody a fool. You know what I mean. Don't get in arguments with people that it's just not going to go anywhere. He's saying no matter what you do, no matter how right you are, no matter what you think you know, and you know they're wrong and you know it and you want to tell them, it doesn't matter because at the end of the story, they're still going to be that. Listen, though, it's just... Hallelujah. Where was it? Because that's the other one I had. Though you grind a fool into mortar with a pestle along with crushed grain, yet his foolishness will not depart him. It's not going to change anything. Amen? I got one more. I'm sorry. One more. If a wise man... Anybody here consider yourself wise? I think we all do, right? We all think we're... I think if a wise man contends with a foolish man... You know what I'm talking about. If a wise man contends with a foolish man, whether the fool rages or laughs, there is no peace. No peace. No, we all have people like that in our lives. I pray that I'm not one of them. I'm stubborn. I am very stubborn. I'm stuck in my ways. But I pray that I'm not like that. If a wise man contends with a foolish man, whether the fool rages or laughs, there is no peace. That's telling us to stop trying to change people who don't want to be changed. Stop trying to tell somebody about things they don't want to hear about. When God touches them, they'll be touched. But don't put yourself in a place where that's all you're doing is trying to reach out. Because, and here's the bottom line, there's so many people that need what you have. Amen. Give him praise. There's so many people that need what you have. Reach out for them. And read some Solomon together. Hallelujah. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Thank you, Lord. He saves me every day. Sometimes every hour of the day. Hallelujah.
Ladies.
Wherever you are in the world today. brothers and sisters, whatever church you're going into today, whatever your troubles you have, whatever your injustice that you're facing, whatever anger that you have, whatever problems that you have against somebody else, you cannot sing that song and be church mad at somebody. You cannot sing that song and be angry at somebody else when you leave. Because if you believe that God has amazing grace in your life, you need to pass that on. In Jesus' name, we need to know that. We cannot be the same leaving here because we're part of God's family. Say it's hard. You betcha. God knew what he was doing when he said, forgive us our trespasses as we. And he talked about amazing grace. Unmerited favor he gave to us. And if we believe that and that God is inside us, we need to pass it on. No matter where you are in life, no matter where you're born, no matter where you live, no matter what you're doing, you need to pass that on. That will heal the world if we can get the world to hold on to that. In Jesus' name. And give him praise.